Let us turn in the back of our books of praise to Lord's Day 45. You can find it on page 559. As I already mentioned, as you can see on the above this Lord's Day, we begin the topic of prayer. And it asks in question 116, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will give His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. What belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him? First, we must from the heart call upon the one true God only, who has revealed Himself in His Word, for all that He has commanded us to pray. Second, we must thoroughly know our need and misery, so that we may humble ourselves before God. Third, we must rest on this firm foundation, that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? All the things we need for body and soul, as included in the prayer which Christ our Lord Himself taught us. What is the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. After we have heard God's word proclaimed, we'll sing in response from Psalm 27, as it calls us to seek the Lord's face. Also in prayer, we'll sing Psalm 27, stanzas 3 and 4. Beloved brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, they say in journalism that of the people who read the headline of a news article, less than half read even the first paragraph, and almost nobody reads the entire article. So journalists are taught to put everything important at the front. You bait people with a controversial headline, and you put all the important information in the first paragraph. So by the time you get to the end, there's not a lot of new information there. What is first is most important. On the other hand, if like me, you like to read good books, novels, you'll know that they're the opposite. A good book often starts pretty slowly. It builds the world of the book, it introduces the characters. Eventually, something exciting happens, and then it all builds to a furious conclusion. The good part is the end. So of these two ways of writing, which is our catechism? We're almost at the end, the last section. Prayer. Is prayer last because it is least important? Are the authors journalists putting the important stuff in the front part of the catechism, and then if you run out of time, you can just ignore the part at the end? Or are they like good authors, saving the best for last, ending with a bang, so to speak? Well, we don't have to wonder because they tell us. They tell us straight up in question answer 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. They teach us there that prayer is the capstone of the catechism. We started a long time ago in the depths of sadness with our sin and our misery. And then we heard the glorious gospel of our salvation in Christ. Many would argue, and with good reason, that middle section, our deliverance, that's the highlight of the catechism, and fair enough, that's a good argument. But in Lord's Day 32, we learn also that Jesus has not just saved us from our sins and then stopped. He redeems us by His blood, but then He also renews us by His Holy Spirit so that we can live godly lives to be His image. Now that we have been saved, our whole life changes. We get to live out the true purpose for which we were created, which is to glorify God. And so our holiness, the last part of the catechism, thankfulness, it's not an afterthought of our salvation. It's actually the very point of our salvation, the dessert, you could say. But if thankfulness is the dessert, the highlight of the catechism, prayer is the cream on the top, because prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness. And that's our theme for this afternoon. And we will see three things. We'll see the purpose of prayer, we'll see the importance of prayer, and then we'll see the ingredients of prayer. So firstly, the purpose of prayer. Why do we pray? What's the purpose? Well, since the catechism starts with sin and misery, we might argue that the purpose of prayer is to confess our sin and misery. Prayer is filled with confession, admitting our sin and our unworthiness before God. Or is the main purpose of prayer, the second part of the catechism, salvation? We pray to plead with God for salvation, for deliverance from our sins. That's the point of so-called sinners' prayers, that many churches and many evangelists teach people to pray in order to commit their lives to Christ. They're simple confessions of sins and statements of faith in Jesus Christ. And absolutely, prayers ought to be filled with confession of sin and demonstrate our faith in God. These sorts of prayers are found throughout Scripture, and elements of the Lord's Prayer are about confession of sin and trust in God. But our Lord's Day tells us that the first purpose of prayer is thankfulness. So from this, we learn that prayer is not first of all for getting what we want or even for getting what we need. And it's our human nature to treat prayer in this way. We pray to God when we need something, and when we desperately need something, our prayers are the most heartfelt of all. When we're not really lacking too much in our life, because God has richly blessed us, then our prayers often leave something to be desired. And again, yes, the Bible makes very clear that we should pray to God when we have needs. In fact, it tells us that over and over again. One of the proof texts for our catechism today is Psalm 50, verse 15, where God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." But even needs on the day of trouble is not the primary purpose of prayer. Because Psalm 50 has a context. And it says, first of all, it says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me." So it says prayer starts with thanksgiving and ends with glorifying God. And in the middle is our needs. So it's not most of all about our needs. It's most of all about thanking and glorifying God. And our Lord Jesus also makes this clear by the Lord's Prayer. Our daily needs are included, both our physical needs, daily bread, as well as our spiritual needs, forgiveness of sins and deliverance from evil. But first come three petitions about God, seeking His holiness, His kingdom, and His way. And so we see this also in Psalms, like Psalm 145. It is a prayer to God, like the Psalms are, and it is a prayer of great thanksgiving to God. And from beginning to end, this psalm praises God and declares all the things that He has done. And David is so thankful. He talks about how much his days and his prayers are filled with praise to God. He says in verse 1, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." So every day of David's life is filled with thanksgiving to God, and he will make sure that not just today and in the next few days, but forever and ever, it will be the same. Every day is filled with thanks to God. But David goes even further than just himself. He talks about how he will teach God's works and declare his mighty acts to the next generation so that they will do the same. They will begin to praise and thank God and declare his deeds and his greatness. And so this psalm is a clear call for us to do the same. That our lives should be filled with praise and thanksgiving to God in prayer. And then we too are called to teach others to do the same. And as we know, if David has good reason to praise God forever and ever, surely we have even more reason. After all, prayer is the last part of the catechism. And in the previous parts, we've seen God's awesome grace in Christ. How we by nature are detestable sinners, deserving God's wrath, but instead receiving God's love and forgiveness because Christ has suffered God's wrath for us. We've seen how Christ makes us righteous before God and accomplishes all that we need for our salvation. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to work righteousness in our own hearts. So we have complete forgiveness of our sins, complete assurance of our salvation, and the delight of living our life for God's glory. And so we can bring all these things to God in prayer and thanksgiving. And we see David do this as an example to us in our psalm. He talks of God's grace and mercy and steadfast love. But we also have so many earthly blessings. A church family, flesh and blood families, friends, houses, possessions, recreation, food, drink, freedom. The list is endless. And David also does the same thing in this psalm as he praises God for not just his spiritual blessings of mercy and forgiveness, but also his blessings to give everyone food in due season to satisfy the desires of all living things. And so for both spiritual and physical blessings, we are called to bless God in prayer and praise his name forever and ever as he has given us so much in Christ. Now, it is true that every day of our life might not be filled with such unbridled praise as we read in this psalm. And the same is true of David. If you read some of the other psalms of David in the book, he's often in a lot of trouble and in great need of God's help. And so he also has prayers that are very different from this one. Prayers of desperation, prayers of pleading, prayers of confession of sins. And the same is true of us. Some days we'll be like Psalm 145, where we can just see blessings after blessings as far as the eye can see in our life. Sometimes days will be full of trouble, where we can hardly see the blessings because the struggles of our life are right there in front of us. But Psalm 145 is still an acknowledgement that even in the midst of trouble and great need, we can still trust and thank God. Because his blessings are there for us, no matter what happens. Above all, his spiritual blessings, as they are declared in verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. It's because of God's grace that he loves us and favors us, though we don't deserve it. And because of his mercy, that he does not treat us as we deserve, that we always have reason for thankfulness. Even when life is not easy, we can still rejoice and thank the Lord. Even when we are bowed down by sins, we can remember that God is slow to anger, that he is patient to forgive us. When we are suffering, we can remember that the Lord is good to all, which means that he will even take the suffering, take the evil that is done to us, and he will turn it to our good, use it to strengthen us and help us. And so prayer then is, first of all, about thanksgiving. But secondly, prayer teaches us something important about our relationship with God. If it was just thanksgiving that was important, we would not necessarily have to pray. We could simply sing songs of thanksgiving to God and praise him out loud to everyone else who will listen. And we would be expressing our thanks to God. And that's very important, to express our thanks to God and sing songs of praise. And our psalm calls us to do exactly that. As David talks about how he will speak of God's deeds to the next generation, he says that they, in the end of verse 7, they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. So we are called to be so filled with thankfulness that we raise our voices in songs of praise to God. But God also wants us to do more. He wants each of us to come to him in thanksgiving prayer. Because God wants to have a real relationship with each one of us. And so that's what prayer is. It's communicating with God and talking with Him. And so that's why, even though this is a psalm of thanksgiving, of praise to God, it is also a prayer, as David directs it, in a sense, personally to God. Because God wants us to talk to Him directly. And that's true of any relationship that we have on earth as well. For a relationship to grow and to deepen, we need to talk. Couples who do not talk together about their hopes and fears, concerns and joys, will not grow so deeply in love with each other. And in fact, over time, might actually grow apart through lack of communication. But God wants to have such a relationship with us. He calls us His bride and Himself our bridegroom, or other times our husband. So He wants us to communicate with Him, to share our needs, our hopes, our dreams. And God also calls us His children, and He Himself our Father. And any parent knows the delight of hearing about their young children's stories about their day, or the struggle of trying to get those stories out of their teenager. But we work hard to do so, to ask them about their day, because we want to talk with them, we want to learn about them, we want to grow. And so when we pray, we draw near to God's presence and we are talking with Him. And then God speaks to us back most clearly in His Word. And the Bible tells us this often. It uses the phrase seeking God's face to talk about how we are called to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Seeking God's face means to draw near to Him in worship, but also in personal prayer. For example, Psalm 105, verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence." And that the word there is literally face. Seek His presence or His face continually. And so we are called to pray continually, to thank God in our prayers, and so to grow in love and in relationship with Him. And that takes us to our second point, the importance of prayer. Since prayer is to develop our relationship with God, our Father, our husband, we begin to realize how important it really is. But the Catechism also tells us the importance of prayer, as we've already seen, when it says prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And this is a fairly surprising statement, if you really think about it. Because we've just spent 10 weeks or so studying God's law in detail, each commandment. And as we studied each commandment, we've been strongly warned about our sins. We've been strengthened and encouraged to live a life full of good works. And as we've gone through, hopefully we've seen each week sins in our life that we need to repent from. We've also seen faithfulness, as we have seen the evidence of God's Spirit working in our hearts and enabling us to keep each commandment, though far from perfectly. And we probably spend a lot of our time when we're thinking about biblical things, about thinking about how does my life match up with God's commandments? How can I improve in my service to God? But now, as we begin studying prayer, it's worthwhile asking ourselves, how does my Christian prayer compare to my Christian life? Do I put as much effort in faithfulness in prayer as I do faithfulness in good works? Do I take the Bible's rebuke to pray always as important as the rebukes of God's law? And we ask these questions because the Catechism has that surprising statement that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Thankfulness consists of those two parts, the law of God and prayer. Which is to say, then, that prayer is more important than keeping God's commandments. And the question is, do we live our life as if that is true? I suspect we might be more likely to be putting most effort into good works than into prayer. But the truth is that that is backwards. Prayer is more important than good works. Prayer is more important than the law. And why is that? Why does the Catechism say this? Well, in the first place, this is a reminder that the gospel is more important than the law. Yes, it is vital that we seek to do good works, and we don't want to undermine all that we have learnt over the last 10 weeks. We want to live thankful lives in glory to God. But the most vital thing is that we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is by grace we are saved, not by works that no one should boast, Ephesians 2. And the law, it teaches us works. But prayer teaches us grace. It is when we pray that we are forced to admit how small we are and how great God is, how sinful we are, and how merciful and gracious God is. When we fall into sin in our life, our first thought is usually to double down on the law. Tomorrow I will do better. I'll just work harder and I'll defeat this sin. But tomorrow never comes, because the next day we often fall again. And probably we're even worse at this when we see others in sin. We again want to double down on the law. Come on, you can do better. Don't you know what God requires of you? This is what God's law says. Just go and do it. But it doesn't work that way. We have to meet sin not with doubling down on the law, but doubling down on the gospel. Because it is only when we understand the grace and mercy of God in Christ that we'll be able to do good works. The first answer to someone breaking the law is not pounding them with the law. It is pounding them with grace. Because if we understand grace and God's love towards us, good works will flow out of that. The Holy Spirit will ensure that that happens. And so prayer helps us understand our need for grace and helps us understand God's gracious heart. And the very act of praying, even in the midst of our sin, is an act of faith in God's grace. We realize as we pray that we by no means deserve God's love and forgiveness, but we pray because we hope and believe that He gives it to us anyway in Christ. And so that's why the Catechism tells us that we must put more effort, or we must put first importance on prayer compared to God's law. And the Catechism makes this order very clear as it explains why prayer is the most important part of thankfulness. It says, prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness because God gives His grace and Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. So it says, if you sin, you need grace. And if you want to better keep God's commandments, you need the Holy Spirit. And God will give these things to you when you pray constantly, and when you pray with heartfelt longing. And so if you want to grow in grace, and if you want to grow in obedience, you have to pray more and more fervently for God's grace and for the Holy Spirit. And we'll see how exactly to do this in our third point, the ingredients of prayer. Our Lord's Day also shows us so clearly the ingredients of a prayer that pleases God and is heard by Him. Firstly, it reminds us in answer 116 that our prayer needs to be constant. And you know the Scripture's teaching on this. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5. It's a difficult text because we are all so bad at that, at praying without ceasing. But this is a command for us to repent, and by God's grace and Spirit to pray more and more in our life. We need to pray constantly because we always need God. In prayer, there's no such thing as praying ahead, getting your list of prayer items out of the way early so that you can devote the rest of the day or the rest of the week to other stuff. At all times, we're constantly in need of God's help, and God wants us to live that out, that truth out in our life. And the way to do that is to be constantly in prayer, to be constantly asking Him for His help, the help that we need at each moment of each day. And this is the real problem with the so-called sinner's prayers that evangelists teach Christians to pray at rallies or altar calls in churches. These are prayers that Christians are told to pray. They are prayers of confession of sins and trust in Jesus Christ. And those are good things. But the impression that is given to new Christians is that when you pray this sinner's prayer, now you are in. You're in God's church. You're in God's kingdom. You've done what you need to do to become a Christian. And you're all set. But God's word teaches us differently. We're constantly needing to pray such prayers. Prayers of confession, prayers of faith, prayers of praise. Because we're constantly committing new sins that we need to confess to God. We're daily in need of God's mercy again. We're always growing in faith and realizing more and more what God has done for us. And so we have new items to thank God for every day. So there's no such thing as just one prayer that puts you in God's kingdom. Prayer is a daily, a constant thing. And our text, as we've seen, especially at the very beginning of the psalm, makes this so very clear as it talks about, every day I will bless you, and I will bless your name forever and ever, and praise your name for forever and ever. And that phrase keeps coming back like a refrain. It's in the last verse of the psalm as well. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So it's a call for us to be constantly in prayer to God. And second, our Lord says, prayer needs to be heartfelt. Jesus teaches often about the prayers of hypocrites and the self-righteous. He says, those who pray for the praise of those who are listening, to impress their listeners, they've already received their reward. And so they will not, their prayer will not be heard or answered by God. And he says also, those who pray assuming on God's grace based on their own good works, like the prayer of the Pharisee in the parable of the Pharisee and tax collector, they will not be heard either. But prayer from the depths of sadness, prayer like the tax collector, God be merciful to me, a sinner, that prayer, Jesus says, will certainly be heard. Because God knows the sinner's heart, and he knows that prayer is a heartfelt prayer of confession of sin. And so when we pray, God knows, if no one else does, whether we truly mean the prayer. If we're truly grieving over the sins that we confess to God. If we truly are thankful for the gifts that we praise God for. He knows, on the other hand, if we secretly enjoy our sins and don't really want it to end. He knows if deep down we feel like we've earned God's blessings by our own hard work and sacrifice. And then God will not hear such prayers. We are called to truly mean what we say. Our scripture text tells us this as well, as it talks in verse 18 about how the Lord is near to all who call on him, all who call on him in truth. Our prayers must be true from the heart. Now that might be a little worrying when we hear that. Because who of us can say that all of our prayers truly are heartfelt? And how do we know if we truly mean what we are saying? Because we are all tempted by self-righteousness and other such sins. And so even if our prayers are not as heartfelt as they ought to be, for this too we can pray for God's grace and mercy. And we can pray for the Holy Spirit to help us to work truth in our hearts, so that we do more and more truly believe what we say, truly hate our sins, truly love God, and so on. So we need to pray always. We need to pray from the heart, from the truth of what we believe. But lastly, our prayers also need to be informed. And this is the message of answer 117. It teaches us that for a prayer to be heard by God and to please him, we have to know three things. We have to know God, we have to know ourselves, our need and misery, and we have to know Jesus. So first, we have to know God in order to properly pray to him. God's greatness and his holiness means that we have a sense of awe, a sense of holy fear, as the Bible puts it, when we approach God in prayer. And so we have to know God. We have to recognize how great he is so that our prayers are honoring to our great and holy and awesome God. But we can also know that God is our Father in Christ, as we'll learn next week in Lord's Day 46. And so even though God is great and awesome and holy, we don't have to come with an attitude of trepidation. We don't have to be afraid of God. We don't have to beg in our prayers. But we can come to him in confidence, knowing that he hears us because he's our loving Father. And we must also know ourselves, as we've seen already enough in our sermon. We have to know our need and our misery, says the Catechism. We have to know our sins. This is why confession is a big part of prayer, and that's why our prayers are always humble. We don't ever demand anything from God. We don't have to beg, but we also don't demand it, because we don't deserve anything, because we are sinners. But lastly, while knowing that we are sinners, we also have to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we pray in Jesus' name. We pray having come to Jesus, gentle and lowly in heart. And when we pray such prayers, we know that God always receives us and always gives us rest for our souls. And so even our sins do not prevent us from coming to God. We might hardly dare to raise our eyes to heaven like that tax collector, but we do dare to pray. We humble ourselves before God in prayer. Because of Christ, we can believe that God will hear our prayer. And in fact, God works through our prayers, even our humble prayers of confession, to strengthen our faith. And because, says our catechism, because we humbly pray in Jesus' name, we can trust that God will certainly hear our prayer, though we do not deserve it. Because God has promised us in his word that he will hear every prayer made from the heart in Jesus' name. Since God is faithful, we can trust him in this. And so the prayer of Psalm 145, its beginning and end is filled with praise to God, but it really is the middle of the prayer, the middle of the psalm, that is the key point. Because all that praise and all that confidence in declaring God's glories is based on his mercy and grace. He is gracious, slow to anger. He upholds all who are falling down, says verse 14, and raises up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to him as he gives them their food in due season. Because God is gracious and merciful, giving to those who do not deserve it, loving to those who come to him in repentance, we can trust that he will hear our prayers. As verse 18 says again, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Not one prayer of a Christian is ever ignored. It is all heard and answered by our faithful God. And so what a blessing it is to recognize that. And so we don't need to listen when our sinful hearts accuse us that God will never hear the prayer of a sinner such as I. When Satan tries to convince us not to bother with prayer, because prayer is for faithful Christians, and we are not faithful. That is a lie. Do not believe it. Prayer is for sinners like us. And so we are called to never stop praying. To pray from the heart, to pray from the depths of sorrow for sin, but also to pray from the heights of thankfulness. And as we pray these prayers to God, we can trust that God will hear our prayer, though we don't deserve it, because of Christ. Amen. So if we're